So you can imagine, if we would listen to the sound of our own speech, we would hear it all the time different. So we are listening really not to the sound, but to the articulation of the sound, as we spoke last time, to the sport.
Because it might not sound like you're in the talk, when you're in that country.
Yes, it's a re-articulation of the sound which we hear. Yes? In different languages you can enlarge this kind of dictionary and you can introduce the language of knock knock. How would be in Italian knock knock? Tok tok. Stuk stuk would be in Russian. And Dutch? Knock knock? Okay. German? Klop, klop, you see, it's a bit different than knock, knock. So it's not already with the articulation of the animals, it's how we re-articulate the sound, what it represents in our articulation. So, and many other, Bach, how you say, Trach, Bach, Babach, when you hit, boom, how do you say it? Bang, yeah, big bang, this bang. Thing is in English, but Bach in the Russian. Trach also. Yes, that's what I say.
I don't know what is first, the sound of the
word. I think there's also variation.
It's interesting, yeah? Such a combination, unexpected. Of course, this is an imitation of the sound from which the verbs are then derived or made for the language to know that what we are saying. But that was an imitation of the sound by our means. And within that language, there are certain possibilities, certain windows open, which we can use to imitate the sounds. In English it would be bang, it won't be in Russian bang for whatever you would, Bach, yes, it has to be a trach, but not bang. So in Italian, bang, big bang, what would be that?
You know, after a while, when English of the English is the things that people also adopted in some songs, so in the comics and also bang and other things.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, but still, from your childhood, you know these sounds. You cannot know them unless you grew within that language, yes? When you say the bomb is exploding, when you say boom, oh good, boom, yeah, makes sense.
There's a difference between bang and boom. Yes. Boom is much bigger.
Bigger? People may disagree.
Boom. You mix bang into all our English, that is not a big bang.
Yeah. We can create our dictionary in our room, you know. We have such possibility. How do you say slap?
Klatschen.
Oh, no. Slap. A slap. To slap someone.
Clutch.
To clutch, you see? Tappal, so nice. Tappal is good, yeah, you can feel it. Yes, okay. So that was for the fun at the beginning. Now we are going again to our Sanskrit studies. So last time you didn't finish this thing. You were somewhere in the middle. I didn't touch yet Jagati and other rhythms. Didn't show you the whole system, how it works. Maybe it's not very important. What was important is that we had an idea that the chandas has limited variations. Chandas, a poetic rhythm, has limited variations. And they are suitable for different languages differently. So for Sanskrit, these variations of 8-syllabic, 12-syllabic padas were mainly used. For other languages, it will be something else altogether. I will come back to it in a minute. So before going into this, I wanted to read with you one page only, what Sri Aurobindo says on this particular thing, what is the word and how it was seen by the mystics. Every time I read this passage, many years, all the time, every time this passage is read, I see something new, different. This time also I read and I said, wow, look at this, it's again something new. In the system of the mystics, says Sri Aurobindo, which has partially survived in the schools of India and yoga, the word is a power. The word creates. Now, the word is a power, the word creates. Now, I read it so many times in my life, every time I saw something else. This time I see again something else. For all creation is expression. For all creation is expression. Everything exists already in the secret abode of the infinite, Guhahitam, established in the hidden place, and has only to be brought out here in apparent form of the active consciousness. So basically what we need a light of knowledge to see what is there. It has to be brought out in some particular perspective. The being is here. The being is not altered. It is darkened in the consciousness. So in the consciousness it has to be illumined again. Once it is illumined, we see it proper, its proper place, and then we know what is what. So we need the light of knowledge, the word. Certain schools of Vedic thought even suppose the worlds to have been created by the goddess word, Vak, yes? And sound as first etheric vibration to have preceded formation. In the Veda itself there are passages which treat the poetic measures of the sacred mantras, Anushtubh, Trishtubh, Jagati, Gayatri, as symbolic of the rhythms in which the universal movement of things is cast. So it seems that the vibrations which are demanding certain words are not just vibrations of the same speech, but universally cognized they are the vibrations of consciousness which demand certain expression and certain order. In certain action within this manifestation. These are the poetic rhythms. By expression, then, we create. And men are even said to create the gods in themselves by the mantra. By expression, we create. And men are even said to create the gods in themselves by the mantra. Again, that which we have created in our consciousness by the word, we can fix there by the word, to become part of ourselves and effective not only in our inner life, but upon outer physical world.
I think he is really, for me, important part of it, this by expression there.
become knowledge. And I think how we now go forward in all the schools, that the children learn more to express, that we call them to express, and exactly to bring this third step in. I think also in the Schwarzenegger education mentioned these three steps as necessary.
Expression is not only an outer thing. Expression is also inner expression. When I name it within my consciousness and know what it is within myself, not saying it outside, saying it within, it's already an expression of consciousness. And that expression can be fixed by the word. And this word can hold on to it, the consciousness. That's what the Veda does, basically. We have expressions of consciousness which we cannot have. Cannot have by ourselves for certain reasons. So we look for some expressions which were made by consciousness which is higher or prior to our. And what we do then, holding on to it, we just allow that to form within ourselves another consciousness, another vision. We are creating the world by that. That's how the word creates. The Veda creates the world by this particular formation in consciousness. And nothing you can do about it. It's a very kind of thing, clear thing to us, but we never thought about it in those terms because we use language to think about things and about language. So we are lost. We do not see that we are already fixed in that particular formation by the word. We can't think other things. Just look at us. What is happening in these classes? Or somebody made another fixation in some way, in some, you know, philosophical system. You cannot move him anywhere. He is already fixed there. He cannot come out of it. And the same with us. We are fixed with our usage of the word. So when we are given some kind of other hymns which are introducing some luminosities of consciousness about which we have no idea, then what we are doing, we're just letting it come in and establish within us a possibility of another perception. It's not the final truth. It's not the final result that we are looking for. It's not the final formulation that it is absolutely right. There is no such thing whatsoever. There is nothing absolutely right here or absolutely wrong. It's only a preference of consciousness to see the being in a particular light. You see this being in this light, you have your life like that. You see it differently, you have a different life. We can see this already. So the word creates all the possibilities for us to see ourselves in different way. But there are also rhythms. These anushtup, trishtup, jagati, gayatri. The symbolic, as symbolic of the rhythms in which the universal movement of things is cast. And this is something else. And that's why Veda is Shaiva. Now I understand what Rudra is. It is these rhythms. The word is Brihaspati, but the rhythm is Shiva. Shiva confirms.
What do you think of the description of creation in Tolkien's epic, the Silmarillion, that everything was created by music, and Amur, one, these beings were around him, each had a part like a fuel, and they walked the sounds, and it was so beautiful, and after they were finished, after a long time, he showed them what they had created. What do you think of this idea?
Beautiful. Very good. The vibrations of consciousness played in such a way that they, you know, woven this carpet of creation into which all fits in one vision. The multiplicity of consciousness fits in such an interactive, harmonious way. Beautiful. And most probably there are such layers of consciousness where there are different harmonies. And there's spheres of music, of sound, different spheres, different tunings to those spheres. Well, that's what we are doing. We are tuning to those levels, trying to live them or to let them express themselves in our consciousness. And holding to that expression, we can be something else, or see ourselves as different from that what we were before. Does it make sense? A little bit. It's so simple, simplistic even. So by expression, Sri Aurobindo says, we form. So the formation comes by expression. By affirmation we establish. Now these are two terms used in the Veda all the time. As a power of expression, the word is termed gih, the voice, vachas, the word. As a power of affirmation, stoma, stuti. This stu, to affirm by the word. Now, affirmation is something else. It's holding on to, stabilizing the formation. Yes? Stabilizing because it may go. Why it should stay? If we have another habit to hold on to. It's all about habit. By the way, that course on evolution is interesting because it was about habits. And what are these habits and why they stay? Because the affirmation of consciousness holds that particular formation and does not allow it to go for certain reasons once it is not worked out. Once it is worked out, it is going away, so fading away. And another formation is to come in. So in that sense, every stage in evolution, actually it's very strange, but in Indian Puranic history, if you look at this, actually these stages were already defined as manvantaras and kalpas. And in each one manvantara, there is a new Veda brought in, which is making a new affirmation of consciousness, which is to be worked out by this time. Certain contexts, certain concepts are already brought into this particular evolutionary stage by higher consciousness. And we are here only working it out. We would never be able to think something beyond these affirmations, because we are thinking within that particular limited region of thought. The very material by which we think is limited to work itself out. So we may think that we dare to go beyond, we are not going anywhere beyond that particular formation, which is called Veda, for that particular manvantara. That's why I came to the conclusion that Veda was something more than simply archaic beginning, as Gebser saw. It cannot be just one beginning. In the Indian history, it was seen that there were many such beginnings. Many Vedas, different rishis come and bring this Veda to different manvantaras. And this is a huge period of time, few million years. It's not a small thing to look into. You see, so we do not know. We know only 10,000 years back about ourselves and think already that we know everything. That there was archaic period, Stone Age, and from Stone Age we suddenly jump into this civilization. Sri Aurobindo says, don't fool yourself with this. It can't come like that.
That's the problem with this
Dhammaism. Huh?
Dhammaism. The beginning.
All right. I didn't know that. So the complexity of our perception and consciousness is much greater, and it was formed somewhere many times. We went to many cycles of this fulfillment and this kind of integration of all the stages. All of them were integrated many times by us. That's why we know how to do it and how to stay separate, how to be narrow and how to be vast. We know both and we can choose what to be. Well, maybe I shouldn't speak so much on that, but going back to what Sri Aurobindo says, so expression is gih, the voice. And that's why in the vision of even Gapsa speaks that the voice is an expression of the soul. And you see all this in these fairy tales everywhere, the voice is the expression of the soul. Little Mermaid, you remember? The witch wanted to have the voice of Little Mermaid because that is the proof of the soul. And the prince is in love with that voice. And he is not much following the form and body and looks, and he is following something more essential. So she stole her voice and she presented herself to him with that voice as his partner. So this expression is one thing of the deeper essential reality. An affirmation of it, holding it in consciousness, is another particular formation, or another quality. And I think this is already what Shiva does, Rudra. It is his power, yes, to hold in the consciousness this formation and to give it full
swing.
So
he expresses it, and then Shiva already has to establish it.
Yes, he holds it and he carries it through. Every command comes from the deeper Brahmanaspati reality, as from the beyond supreme. And then this supreme takes it in power and carries it through. And Vishnu gives, as Sri Aurobindo will say here, gives it a scope of support, opens up the vistas for this manifestation of power, of this knowledge. It's a very beautiful vision, by the way. If you see it once, you will be always aware of the Vedic content. In either aspect, it is named manma or mantra, expression of thought in mind. So mantra is expression of thought in mind, and Brahman, expression of the heart or the soul. For this seems to have been the earliest sense of the word Brahman, afterwards applied to the supreme soul or universal being. So Brahman is from root brh, to grow, to expand. So it rises from the ocean heart, the command, the meaning which wants to bring some aspect or some light into manifestation. Brahman in the Veda signifies ordinarily the Vedic word or mantra in its profoundest aspect as the expression of the intuition arising out of the depths of the soul or being. It is a voice of the rhythm which has created the worlds and creates perpetually. All world is expression or manifestation created by the word. Conscious being, luminously manifesting its contents in itself, of itself, Tmana, is the superconscient, holding its contents obscurely in itself. It is the subconscient. Yes, we are not used to see these, philosophical terms in such a psychological treatment. It is so simple in a way. It is simpler than we think, you know, we have complicated the issue. So the higher, the self-luminous descends into the obscure, into the night, into darkness, concealed in darkness, tamas, tamasa gudham, where all is hidden in formless being, owing to fragmentation of consciousness, to chyena, abhu apihitam. It arises again out of the night by the word to reconstitute in the conscient its vast unity. Tam mahina ajayata ekam. Mahina ajayata ekam. This vast being, this all-containing and all-formulating consciousness is Brahman. It is the soul that emerges out of the subconscient in man and rises towards the superconscient. And this rising is Rudra. I'm thinking now of Rudra all the time because I prepare Rudra hymns. And the word of creative power welling upward out of the soul is also Brahman, welling up, springing up from the soul, from the depth of superconscient. The divine, the Deva, manifests itself as conscious power of the soul, creates the worlds by the word, out of the waters of the subconscient. Apraketam salilam sarvam. The inconscient ocean that was this all, as it is plainly termed in the great hymn of creation. This power of the Deva is Brahma. The stress is in the name falling more upon the conscious soul power than upon the word which expresses it. The manifestation of the different world planes in the conscient human being culminates in the manifestation of the superconscient, the truth and the bliss. And this is the office of the supreme word or Veda. Of this supreme word, Brihaspati is the master. The stress in this name falling upon the potency of the word rather than upon the thought of the general soul power which is behind it. And this is Rudra. That soul power is Rudra's power. And the expression of the word is Brihaspati's power. Brihaspati gives the word of knowledge, the rhythm of expression of the superconscient to the gods and especially to Indra, the divine mind, the lord of mind, when they work in man as Aryan powers for the great consummation. Now this is the symbolism of the word in the Vedic terms. You have some questions or something to say. It's a vision. If you don't see it immediately, you can't ask anything. But if you see the beauty and the simplicity of this arrangement, what word we speak, where it comes from. It is in Sri Aurobindo, Secret of the Veda 270. It's also on the website, by the way. I understand. No?
I must have already done it, because I translated this all, it's all in my German articles. But
of course.
You read through, it's so much material, be honest.
Every time we read, it's a new thing.
I think this kind of vision, what you present, it's here then in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is saying that I am the doer. This is the other learning behind that we understand. Everything what we get from something higher. No? It's not by ourselves, personally individual.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to make it right. Okay, we are coming back to this, our rhythms, because that was our topic, and I just went so far away to the Vedic vision again. Yes. So we went through 8 syllabic padas before, iambic rhythm, and then we looked into 11 syllabic padas, which is very difficult to form once. Have you tried yourself to read poetry in a proper sense, proper way? It's kind of tough. It requires some kind of ability, a rhythmic ability, I don't know, musical consciousness, and more, something more, which is neither musical nor some ability which one has to acquire by doing. It's not something given or... It looks like it's very easy to read poetry. It's not at all. That's why in the schools they try to read poetry, poems. Of course, in a very primitive way, but there is more to it, much more. So if I take this Trishtup again as we tried, ta-ta-ta-ta, to-to-ta, ta-to-ta-ta, to-ta-to-ta-to, to-to-ta-to-ta-to. And it's not a simple thing. Yahva Iva Pravayam Ud Jihanah. Yahva Iva Pravayam Ud Jihanah. You see this? First A, 11th syllabic. Yahva Iva Pravayam Ud Jihanah. And there is comma there, that this comma is cesura, where we have to stop. Yahva Iva Pravayam Ud Jihan. Yahva Iva. Comma. Pause. Yahva Iva Pravayam Ud Jihan. Ahod Yihota Yaja Thaya Devan.
But Vladimir, that doesn't fit with the accentuation of the long.
Exactly. Now, accentuation is another story in the word. So one thing is rhythm, and the accentuation can be contradicting the rhythm. Now, what would you do with such reading? And it is all the time contradicting. So you have to know language completely, truly, know the rhythm and try to read, and it is another, every time another sound. That's why Vedic rishis couldn't pass this knowledge in that form, because it changes in every line. So the device was found which would fix it, and this device could be passed on. No. Why different? It's beautiful. If I read to you with proper accentuation, it's very beautiful. Both are maintained. But that's the power of mantra. It should not fit only into the rhythm.
What about the end?
Huh? Hi is a no syllabic. It's at the end. Su at the end. No, it's her. It's her aspiration at the end. Ujjihanah. But now they are Ujjihanaha. They add one more syllable. Purushaha. Yeah? And that ha spoils the rhythm.
Maybe it's also interesting to add the meaning of this, because it really relates back to the rhythms also. Like Chakadimana movement, Gayatri, that which brings out and sets in motion. So that rhythm didn't tell them what your rhythm was mentioning before, that movement of the body. This Trishtu by the moment you feel when it says Tribli affirmation, to what it relates, Trishtu is called the Tribli affirmation.
Yeah, well, there are three. Well, yeah, we do not know why. This is a. I do not know. I can't comment on the names of the. You can comment on the names?
I'm just knowing this much now when Shivalinga says they reflect the movements in which the movement of the world is cast. So if Chakati already is called moving like the world, and Gaya, Shivalinga usually says, you know, Ga, it means that which brings out and sets in motion. So we have definitely the movement already in the meaning of the word itself.
Yeah, Gayatri is an expression from Gai to sing. Yes, Trishtub is a triple affirmation. Maybe because there are three parts in it, I have no idea. Or maybe it feels like triple. And Jagati is from Rudgam to move, that which has moved things. Yeah, 12. It's the biggest number of syllables in one pada, by the way, in Vedic literature. So 12 is the top. So we have 8, 11, and 12, and no other. So of course we have five syllabic, which we are not even counting now, it is here, before we were touching it a little. Yeah. Viraj. But every time, it's not necessarily following iambic, it can change in trochaic. Every time it changes, and I will give you examples and you will see how it is not fitting and how beautifully it is expressed. Because the beauty of that word is not only that it is carried by rhythm and it is perfectly fitting into rhythm, but that it's not fitting into rhythm. And that difference between not fitting into rhythm and bringing the power of the word is exactly where the mantra's power is. We have seen this in the quantitative meter. It can't be that Sri Aurobindo's Savitri, for example, would be all flowing out in one very well measured. It would be something which we would not even register then. The poetry is not only to fit into the rhythm, but also not to fit, and how not to fit, yes? That how not to fit is exactly where the meaning hits, where there is something in us awakens. So the rhythm is one thing, this is Shaiva, power of the consciousness, and the word which is arising from the heart with this rhythm and rising is a Brahman, something else. And these two, they create poetry. We will look into this now, Jagati. So Jagati is 12 syllabic, second one, and you can see ta-ta, ta-ta, to-to-ta, ta-to-ta, to-ta. Doesn't make sense, no? To-ta, 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 to-to-ta, ta-to-ta, to-ta. To-ta, to-ta, to, to-to-ta, to-ta, to-ta. So it doesn't fit at all until you break through, and we will break through now, and you will see how beautiful it is, and you will be surprised how clumsy it was sounding before, before you feel the rhythm by your word. Tuam agne atithim purviyam vishah, purviyam vishah. Tuvam agne atithim purviyam vishah. Huh? Comes back, huh? Rhythm. Tuvam agne atithim purviyam vishah. Rhythm. Tuvam agne atithim purviyam vishah. Now, the stress is not falling there, right? And we will look into this again. Second type. Second type is a bit different. Ta 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 ta. Ta to ta to ta to ta to ta to 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 ta to ta to ta. You know what the difficulty is when we move from Trishtup 11 syllabic to Jagati? It's always a step because it is established in our reading before. Now we have to break it down. So pratnam pratnasa pratnam pratnasa utaye sahaskrita pratnam pratnasam utaye sahaskrita. Yeah?
Pratnam pratnasa utaye sahaskrita.
Now, I will do the same thing to you now with proper accentuation, and you will hear the difference. It's an interesting exercise. Nobody does it anywhere in the world, so you will enjoy it, I'm sure. Myself, I did this to myself, and I was surprised how beautiful it can become. Tuvam, it fits, yes? Tuvam, stress, with a strong syllable. You understand that this is weak, or altered as weak or strong, can be all strong, except these two. These two should be weak, and these weak. Yeah? Otherwise, these are altered. Can be strong or weak, but usually weak, because iambic rhythm, ta-ta, ta-ta. Actually, Jagati is nearly iambic. I can read like this, ta-ta, 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 to ta to ta. It's purely Arabic six times. To ta to ta to ta to ta to ta to ta. The difference is only here a little bit. Some adjustment, but it is fully like this. To ta to ta to ta to ta to ta to ta. six times iambic foot. Tota, 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 tota. Tota, 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 tota. This is the simplified Jagati.
Usually I noticed that when I just chant without caring, then that will come.
That will come, and it's good for it to come at the beginning. Because to come to Jagati, you have to have this feeling. Pratnam pratnasa uta ye sahaskrita. Tuva magne atithim purvi yam vishah. Iambic, purely. But then there are modifications. Pratnam pratnasa uta ye sahaskrita. Now what we have here, pratnam fits, pratna sa fits, yes? Pratnam pratna sa uta ye doesn't fit. You see? Should be uta ye. And here we have uta ye. This has to be strong, this is weak. Nothing you can do about it. So pratnam pratnasa utaye, and this has to be weak. Sahaskrita, all weak. So this is the modification of the line of the poetry, and it is unique, and you will not find the same line anywhere among 10,000 lines in the Rig Veda. This is a unique line because it fits into this particular formation in this way. And to transmit this poetry without alteration would be impossible, because it will be lost in 100 years without any recovery. So how to fix it for 6,000 years, that it will not be lost? The device was found. The device which was fixing this udatta, datta, in a particular formation, pratnam, Ratna sahu taye sahaskrita. How it was fixed? The anudatta has to precede udatta, and after udatta is made, next syllable has to bear svarita. And when the next syllable was bearing svarita, it was clear that previous was udatta. And if there is a possibility to change it into what would be over one next udatta, it was going into anudatta. Either svarita or anudatta. The falling pitch or low pitch, and by this device the whole text was preserved without any alteration. So that was the device. Now this device was fixed as if it is a mantric reading, and it is not. It's clear, yes? So Ushnik is 8812. Purushnik is 12, 8, 8, and you see, look at this particular formation. There is only 12 and 8 syllabic padas, and their combinations create different rhythms, which are listed in the Veda. That's it. 11 syllabic pada is not participating in creating new rhythms. Trishtup is not used. So we can read, try to read this Jagati, which we just today did. Tuvam agna is that. So Jagati can open with 4 or 5. This is 4 opening. Tuvam agna. Tuvam agna ati thim pur viyam vishah. Tuvam agna ati thim pur viyam vishah. This is the rhythm. But the stress is different. Tuva magna atithim purviyam vishah. Tuva magna atithim purviyam vishah. This is the rhythm. And now I will read you the same rhythm with a stress. Tuva magne atithim purviyam vishah. Shochish kesham grihapatim nishedire. Brihat ketum pururupam dhanaspritam susharmanam suavasam jaradvisham. You can breathe. there is no monotonous rhythm. There are combinations of rhythm and the word which are playing this game of mantra. Do you feel the beauty? Such a difference it makes when the word is not fitting exactly into the rhythm. This is a great discovery. Actually, I had to wait for it for so long. You know, studying these things for so many years, finally I could discover this beauty of poetry in the Veda. And if we read all these, well, I do not know, maybe you shouldn't read Trishtup. I don't want to go back to Trishtup. But there are some here for you. Trishtup, it's another rhythm. Shall we establish that rhythm before and read a few lines? So, ta-ta, ta-ta, to-to-ta, ta-to-ta-ta, to-ta-to-ta-to, to-to-ta-to-ta-to. Yahva iva prava yam ujjihanah, abodhi hota yaja thaya devan. Yahva iva prava yam ujjihanah. Now I will read. Once the rhythm comes back, we can read how it sounds. Abodhi agnih samidha jananam pratidhenum ivayatim ushasam yahvaiva pravayam ujjihanah prabhanavah sisratenakam accha abodhi hota yajathaya devan urdhvo agnih Sumana pratar asthat samidhasya rushad adarshipajo mahandevas tamaso niramoji.
So if you want to get the matching now and get the meaning along with this.
And when you understand the meaning, you say, oh, this is, it's another dimension altogether. Trishtup is my favorite. It's more beautiful than Gayatri. Gayatri is 888, yes? And it's quite easy. But I will read Susam. It should be Susamidhaya Chochi Sheg Gritam Tivram Juhotana Agnaye Jata Vedase. But now I will read with the. No, the same rhythm. Gayatri is a rhythm 888 three times. Susamidhaya shochishe gharitam tivaram juhotana agnaye jatavedase nara shamsak sushudati imam yajnyam adabhiyah kavirhi madhuastiyah ilato agna avaha indram chitram iha priyam sukhai Ratthebhih utaye. So, sorry to exercise with you this reading. But this is an exciting opportunity to see it coming back to life over millennia, over thousands of years, fixed in a particular format. Anyhow. That was it for today, and if you want to go to have some questions or some remarks, you're most welcome, and especially about this scheme. But if not, then I will go to another topic and finish today.
Yeah? So maybe that also in this room in India, I'm also saying that several people
I am very happy that I came back to this topic again when I am doing Rudra hymns, because I understood what Rudra represents. it's the most difficult thing for me was to understand what actually Rudra represents, you know. If Aryaman is that power, why Rudra is there? Is exactly that why the whole Vedic tradition is called Shaiva, why Shiva is envisioned as Om syllable, as Shiva Lingam is always Om. Now it's clear, it's this power of rhythm which manifests the world on every level, which holds the world with the power and letting it rise. It's the power which is carrying the word, the rhythm. We are not aware of these psychological realities. We never thought about word different from rhythm. But I never thought. But if I think about it now, it just opens something new in me, some new understanding of the poetry. Why it was written in poetic way? Why it wasn't an explanation of prose?
Yes, that was the question we asked last time, because there must be a reason why all this ancient knowledge was passed on all this only in nature and poetry.
And what about those some sections and functions that are prose, but they didn't have any prose in the various days itself?
It is rhythmical prose, Sri Bindu says. It's rhythmic. It's not even... It's not pure prose. If you read it, you will feel that it has its own rhythm, flow.
Even in between it becomes poetry, even that rhythm sometimes becomes quite regularized in music.
Can we try to speak in poetry, in poetic rhythm? Would that be possible? Can you imagine what we should have, what kind of consciousness?
Yeah. What's interesting is that Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, incorporated in it poems, and one of them was with nonsense sounds in it, but when you read it, there's a very rich rhythm, and the sounds all seem like they have meanings, and you can read the whole poem, and kids will visualize things in their... I can recite the first verse. "'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe."
Well, it's English.
English, and there are half the words have no meanings, you know. But the sound is so wonderful, and I mean, I always include it in my unit of poetry with kids, and they get completely enchanted, like it's some magic that falls on them. So he's captured something, and then in the rest of the verses, you can imagine what that word means, you know. It's not a real word, but the sound. Just like those onomatopoeic sounds, it just sounds like something, you know, and you imagine it. So it's amazing what poetry can be.
Yeah.
Sound and rhythm captured in this very rich...
Yeah. That's interesting.
And also, Tolkien invented a whole language, Elvish language. I met a woman once who said she had heard him recite some of his Elvish poems,
like
this imaginary language,
your
grammar poem.
They are not bad.
So beautiful.
They are beautiful, yeah. It's funny because when I was a young boy, I was playing in a rock band. Can you imagine me, rock band, 16 years old? In Soviet Union it was prohibited, but I was a daring spirit, you know, who could do it. So we created our rock band, and I was singing in English. And there was no real word in English, by the way. I was making words. From that time on, I have this kind of deja vu with English. It sounds all right to me when it is not really the real word. So the words were coming in a way fitting to that music, you know. And we were going with concerts around, you know. Everybody was happy with our things. Anyhow, it's a funny thing. Language is a very funny thing. Song and poetry, it carries in itself something, some message, some rhythm. Even if I put nothing, as I was doing this exercise already with rhythms, nothing into the rhythm, and just put na 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 na, yes, and read to you, you will be in ecstatic state. Because it's not because of the words there, but because of that rhythm that puts us into a particular... But if there are words plus to that, and meaning, and some unfolding of some light or knowledge, it becomes a very vivid, very powerful device to bring it in and to fix it there. So if we could speak in poetry, we would be much more efficient, I guess.
But some people, when they speak, some people, when they speak just ordinary words, ordinary conversation, you notice they have more power than others have speaking the same thing. And I think it has to do with a certain intensity, just held back within the space between the words.
Right, very right. And that's what rhythm is about. How you rhythmically present the same sentence. It can be a prose, but the poetry would be even more powerful. Because it will demand the word, and you will have to allow it to come, even if you don't want it to be there.
Even in Shakespeare, the dialogue, people are having intense, deep, or even light conversation in rhyme and rhythm.
Yeah.
And it seems so incredible.
It's incredible.
And then there is this famous French play, Cyrano de Bergerac, in which the guy is a swordsman and other things, but he's a poet above all. And when he challenges a guy to a duel, he says, not only will I fight you a duel, but while I'm doing it, I'm going to create poetry. And he does. I mean, he's extraordinary. And he says, and at the end, I will touch, you know, with his double fence. And he says, a la fin de verre, je touche, something like that. But in the end, he only wanted to humiliate the guy. So instead of poking him with his sword, he touched his nose and said, okay, go away now. Really insulted him. But the whole time he was creating fantastic poetry while he was
talking. I remember that movie.
It's my absolute favorite. It's just the whole thing is poetry from the beginning to end.
Yes, but it's in French, yes?
But it has subtitles.
Okay, good.
It's really amazing.
I think I saw it even, because I remember this man, big man, yes, he's playing
with the
Lord. Yes, yes, very, very wonderfully made.
It's beautiful.
Yes. Also, if you see this Romeo and Juliet, I saw this version when they are shooting with pistols, all gangsters. Yeah, very, very heavy, very dirty, yeah? in presentation. But what was interesting, the speech was different. The speech was luminous, and the action was they were not matching, and this mismatching was. Yeah, it didn't work. But what was interesting to see that mismatch for me, because the word still played its role, in spite of everything which was done outwardly wrong, in a wrong way. So that's where the Shiva and Brahmanaspati, they do not match. Okay, so we end today here with a minute of silence. Would you like to create the dictionary of somebody wants to participate in this? Dictionary of different languages? It is really interesting thought. Yes, because we have people from 40 different nationalities, more than enough.
So,
it's a tempting thing, I also
know.
Time. No, we need to create a pattern, what we want to know, yes? In English, that boom, bang thing, and bang what in different languages they... And just record it. Even I thought to make such a book again, which is more expanded, and now they have these possibilities to click and it gives the sound. So you can hear, you know, in different voices. Bow wow, wow wow, woof woof, hav hav, all kind of Russian, how Russian dog does, yeah, meow. But not everyone meow is doing, yes? Mainly, meow. The cat is here also. These are also guys, they do all kind of things. Oink, oink. I would never think about oink, it's so sweet. In Russian it's hru hru. Oink, oink is sweet, yes? Anyhow, if we decide to do it, it would be interesting. Linguistic project of our life. Oink, oink project, if you want, or knock, knock. Okay. This was Kirti brought me. Shall I keep it for one more day?